And welcome to the Rock and Roll Survivors Podcast, dedicated to those in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, and somewhere in between. So let's get started. Well, welcome to the Rock and Roll Survivors Podcast, Arlene Sue Quattro. I cannot believe you're here, Patty's older sister, and we've been singing your praises over the first two seasons, especially in season two, and your sister, Patty Quattro, is back, and we have a bunch of questions for you, and I just want to dive right in. So welcome, Arlene, and welcome back, Patty Quattro. Patty, are you going to say hello or are you just going to sit back?
Yes, I'm going to say hello.
So, Arlene, we talked so much about your amazing musical family in season two, and you are the oldest child of Arthur and Helen Quattro. And I think you have, therefore, a very unique and different perspective because you got to watch all of your siblings grow up in basically the music biz. But you too were in the music biz. But since you were the older sibling, I want to hear your tale of being the firstborn and what it was like when you were introduced to music. Was it at a young age? How did you gravitate towards the piano? Just as a kid, tell me about what it was like exploring music for you in the Quattro household.
Okay. We all had music lessons on the piano, all the kids. And so I was taking piano, and I also loved dancing. So I was taking ballet. And then I don't remember how long, but my father came to pick me up, and he said, you can't do both. I can't give everybody piano and then you taking dancing, so you got to pick which one you want. And I said, okay, no problem, ballet. And my dad said, no, piano.
Wow.
And that's how I start. He made me pick piano. And the joke to that is when I joined the band, I played the organ while everybody danced in front of me.
Wow.
That's true.
Did you know? It's funny, Patty, but it's also, that's such a poignant storyline underneath it all. Did you know that, Patty?
I did not know that he made you make a choice. That's so interesting to me. And then you're playing piano and watching everybody else being able to dance. That's so funny.
Yep.
Never knew that, Arlene.
That's incredible. Yes. And I'm skipping ahead a little bit, Arlene, and we're not going to get there yet, but it does speak to why you were such an incredible, the way you moved on stage, and I'm quoting Patty on that, but I've seen you as well in videos. You really do have a dancer's move to you, and that makes perfect sense. But wow, I find that very poignant. Funny, but very poignant.
Yeah, I couldn't, when music came on, I couldn't, my whole body just moves automatically. It still does at 80, 82, I'll be 83. And it's amazing. I can get up and I can actually dance still.
Wow.
That in my body just automatically. Yeah. So always thought that was pretty wild too.
Well, I think it's wild, but it also shows it never left you. And that, well, I think both paths have been very special for you, but I just think the fact that it also shows your father's passion for music and his belief in you as a musician.
Yes. He's the one that got me in the band.
Well, exactly. And that's what Patty and I spoke a lot about that on season two. And I'm going to quote your little sister, but I want your take on it. So Patty talked a lot about in season two, how because you were the oldest and you were married at the time to Leo Fenn, and I have questions about him a little bit down the line, and you had three kids, and that you and your mom used to sit at the kitchen table when the band was practicing downstairs in the basement, and you and your mom would just crack up. You would howl like at how bad you thought they were. So do you have those memories sitting around with your mom?
Oh, God, yes.
Tell us.
I'd be over there and with the kids and everything, and they'd be playing downstairs. chairs, and I go, oh dear, they're not very good, are they, Mom? Listen to that. And then they slowly got better and better, you know, but that was in the beginning.
Patty, do you want to comment to that?
Well, we had to start somewhere, you know, but she was there in the beginning. That was like 64, 65, and you had two kids at the time. And you were just making fun of us all the time. You thought it was hilarious, you know, it wasn't something you were doing. But
then they slowly started getting better.
Well, one of the things, Arlene, that Patty said, and I still crack up because of the way she said it about you with love, of course, was that by the time the Pleasure Seekers were seeking a replacement keyboardist, your dad suggested to your sisters, Patty and Susie, that you join. And Patty's response, and this is, you can hear her on tape, Arlene. She's like, huh? What are you kidding? Huh?
And then, well, when he called me, I was even going, huh? Do you want me to what?
Well, tell me about that phone call. What were you feeling when he first offered it? And then how did you mull it over? Did you talk about it with Leo?
Yeah, I was scared to death. I was the mom with the kids. I wasn't on a stage, you know, for so long. So anyway, my dad, you know, he just said, please, it's just one night. And they don't have the organ player is sick. I didn't know she had quit. I guess he lied about that. And he just, you know, he just asked me if I would just do it the one night. And so, and I was real close to my dad. I mean, I adored my dad. So I said, okay. And then when Leo got home, of course, I was like, you got to be kidding. Well, we'll make a little bit of money. And so I guess I don't remember learning the songs, but anyway, I guess that happened. And then the next thing I knew, I was up on the roof that we were playing on the porch of a house. And I went to go out. I went out and all these people, and I tried to run back in. I did not want to do it. I was scared to death.
Leo shoved you back out. He said, get out there.
Yeah.
Because it was at a fraternity party, and that was your first gig, and you were freaking out.
Well, I just wait before, because this is so fabulous. So this is 1966. And I also find it interesting that, Arlene, you were told by your dad that it was just the first and only gig, right? Not just the first gig, and that it was on a frat house roof, according to Patty, right? Is that right? A frat house roof?
Yep. He was being devious, trying to get her into the band.
But, and also your husband, Leo, had to push you back on the stage. But before we even get you to your first gig, or what you thought was first and only, Patty also said, besides, huh, when you were recommended, was that they had to, quote, hip you up in terms of your dress and your look.
Oh, yeah.
How did that even happen? How did these, I want to hear the visuals of how all of this came about. Patty, feel free to jump in.
She had a long blonde ponytail, mom hair. She had mom hair, mom clothes, you know, that era, whatever it was. We had to change her way of dressing, and we got her hair down long, and she looked incredible. So we did a whole update on her. I can't remember how you felt about it, Arlene, but I remember we had to do it to make you fit in.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think I cared. I just figured this was for a second. And if I look better, I guess, okay, I'll look better. Okay. It was going out and going out there and hoping that I remembered the songs right. And I mean, it's a total opposite of my life, you know.
Oh, completely.
And I cared about my, I didn't care about all the people out there or anything. I cared about my sisters in the band. You know, I mean, I knew that they wanted to look good and everything. So that's, I think, you know, I cared about that. Am I going to make a fool out of them, or am I going to make a fool out of myself, or, oh my goodness.
Did you know that?
But once I started playing,
I remember that I was okay because I knew how to play the piano.
And were you comfortable singing as well, or was that new for you?
Doing what? I don't think we had you singing at the beginning.
No,
I just gig and stuff. You're just playing piano. No. Yeah, just filling in. Yeah,
I was just playing my part, and I think what I remember is once it started, it was going, I could see that I was going to make it through that. So, I didn't try to run off again. I was just like, okay.
well, that major do-over from mom to rock star certainly worked, because Patty referred to you in the second season, and you've been referred to a lot by many others over the decades, is that you were the Pamela Sue Anderson of your day. Patty described you as foxy lady on keyboards and vocals. And since, you yourself described as saying you were a mom, and now you're in this whole other life playing music in Detroit and in these outside cities, what was that switch for you like?
Well, I became very identified with it because, number one, I love music. Number two, I had one foot on the pedal and the rest of the whole body was dancing. So I was in it again with what I love, but just in a different position.
Well, I love that, because we can expand upon what we were talking about earlier with your dad giving you the choice between music and ballet. You picked ballet, he said music, and now you're the one getting to do both along with the dancers in the audience. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, she drew the eye on stage. She was like our little sex symbol, she gorgeous blonde, long hair, and she moved very sensuously, and she just added that element. It gave us that sex appeal. She was the one that had so much of that. And she would move with the music, and oh my God, she had so many fans. Yeah.
Well,
people were really blown away. I still have. I've received letters about how I moved and played. I mean, how did you do that? My head was twirling all over. My body was twirling all over. Only one leg was holding the pedal down. The rest of it was dancing. So I got to dance again, even though the people were dancing, I got to dance with them.
I love it. And Patty and I spoke so much in season two about Detroit, and we call them our pillars, whether it's the Motor City or Motown or Detroit Rock City. But the car industry was so important for so many different reasons. And so when you're saying you only had one foot down and it was on the pedal, of course, I know you mean the keyboards, but there is that kind of interest.
Yep.
Metaphor there.
Yeah.
So I just want to clarify, and either one of you feel free to jump in on this one or both, but Patty, you and I mentioned it on season two, but how did it actually come about that Leo Fenn, Arlene's husband at the time, came to manage Pleasure Seekers?
I know part of that. I know Dad was concerned because we were going out of town a lot, and we were women, and we were still very young. I mean, we were 16, 18, and Arlene was a little older, but all the other girls were young. And I think he felt a protection. I think he brought it up with Leo, they need a manager, they need someone there. And then Arlene, you can tell about how you talked about it with Leo, how that came to be. But Dad pushed it a little bit. He thought we were traveling more. We started to really, everybody wanted to hire a girl band, an all-girl band. And we had a lot of sex appeal. And he felt a protective nature toward us. So he talked to Leo. And Arlene, you pick it up from there. How Leo came.
Well, Leo really dug the band. And, because he was a draftsman during the day. So it was a little bit more exciting. And he seemed to really get into promoting us. He really bought into that and selling us. And, he was really good at it. And, we talked about making more money, bringing more money into the home and what we could maybe do with our family. So we were looking at it from a more fruitful kind of thing that it could be.
Well, I remember it was all Leo. that got us onto Mercury and with ABC. Oddly, that part wasn't Mickey. Leo called. He called all over. He even called Peter Asher later in England, but he got us a Mercury contract. He was right there doing all that. He promoted us. He got us into New York City for a very important gig at Trudy Heller's. Leo was very talented at that. He ended up later working for Alice Cooper. So, you know, I mean, he had that kind of talent.
Just to clarify, for people who don't know, when you're saying Mickey, talking about your brother, both of you, Michael Quattro.
Right.
But I do think that's an interesting clarification for Leo's contributions. I also think, going back to the brilliance of your father, but cleverness in this part, needing the band, because you were gaining popularity, you were being booked all the time, and you were starting to be booked outside of the city and even the state. And your dad realizing you needed a chaperone, how great to keep have a chaperone of keeping it in the family so there wouldn't be any kind of ripoff or betrayal. There's a chaperone aspect to it. And also, Arlene, like you said, helping out your family financially.
Yeah, what he was doing for us.
I think so too. And one other, and again, I will let you take this as far as you want to, but you had three small children at the time that you were leaving with Leo. So you, both parents were on the road. How did you logistically handle this, and how did it work out emotionally?
Well, it was real hard at first because I was really into my home and my kids and the whole thing. It just grew, you know, it grew slowly but surely, and we got more and more popular. And Leo got more and more into it. And we got a lady. We decided to take the kids on the road. Oh, yeah, we got hired in New York. And so this was more big time. This was really going somewhere. And we all could feel it. And Leo and I decided to get a woman to go with us on the road and take the kids. So that's what we did. We hired an older lady, Mrs. Sweet. Mm-hmm. And we went in to Canada first with Mrs. Sweet and the kids. And then we went into New York. And that's when it really exploded, because we were working at Trudy Heller's till about 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And so when we got back to the hotel, we would all sleep till afternoon and then practice and then go back into Trudy Heller's. So I wasn't able to spend much time with the kids. And that was breaking down. And as we got bigger and bigger, and my parents came in to New York to see us and saw what was going on and said, no, this is not good. We're going to take the kids back to our place. And then when you have breaks, you come back home and be with your kids.
How did you feel about that choice?
Torn, but knowing that as it was going like that, it had, it wasn't good like that. And I was more for the band, too. I wasn't as much the motherhood and the mother, and my whole life as a mother was more in the background because this was really taking form.
And you were also incredibly young yourself.
Yeah.
Early 20s, correct?
I guess. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's like 25, I think. 25,
yeah,
24,
it was,
26.
Yeah,
like
yeah. And I loved music and I loved moving. So that was satisfying that part of me. Because when I was, before that all happened, I'm just remembering this. Wow. Before that all happened, I was home as a mother and the kids and everything. And I had this feeling that I wanted to do something myself too. And so I decided to see if I could get into ballet downtown in Detroit. There was a famous teacher there from Europe. And so I thought, well, I wonder if she would even accept me. So I went and tried out at her place downtown, and she accepted me as a student. So I was thrilled. So I started taking ballet downtown on the weekend. I'd go, but then I had to quit.
It just was too much. So that was before my dad called and got me in the band.
I feel like this is a tale. I mean, this is like a fable listening to this. You go to seek out
ballet, I know.
And then you continue, and then your father says, nope, it's going to be music. And then you're going to defy him and say, no, it's going to be both. The Pleasure Seekers and Cradle.
I never even put that together till just now. I'd forgotten totally about how I did try to go back in and do the a little bit of ballet too.
Yeah,
and
those
then my father
were
opened
there.
Up the other. Yeah, and then
yep.
the,
you
my
didn't
father
want to
opened
give it
that
up.
Door. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It was just meant to be. I have told my sisters many times I couldn't thank them enough. As bad as it was that I wasn't the mother that I wish I could have been, but I so honor that they voted me in to be in that band.
Oh, tell the, oh my God, the voting.
tell the story about voting.
Yeah, they were debating, you know, whether they should have me or not, because I'm older than them and everything. And, you know, should they look for somebody else or keep me in it? And I thought, oh, maybe they won't accept me. But by then, I wanted to be in it. You know, it was part of me. And yet I love my kids. I didn't want to have to be away from my kids. But yet it was just, you know, a dual life. I think God meant for me to do it. I mean, it was just meant to be the way the whole... Now, as I'm telling the story, my goodness, I forgot all about trying to be a nun before all that even went down. It was like a precursor to what was coming, and I didn't know.
Well, I missed that. You wanted to become a nun?
Yeah, I did want to become a nun.
Well, that's, yeah.
That was when you were really young, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Every kid had their little place in the family, and that was her thing. And then, I mean, but it was hilarious when we had to vote you in. Oh, my God.
What's your side, Patty, of voting your sister?
We voted. I can't remember whether we all said, yeah, let's do it. I mean, she was doing okay by then. She had already played, and she was getting like a yearning to do it and to belong. It was exciting. They were making more money. All of that played in. And we thought, well, geez, there's nobody else around that we're going to use. Diane Baker had left, and there was nobody else we were interested in. And she was holding her own by then. So, yeah, I don't think we had a huge vote like, oh, do we or don't we? You know, I don't think it was that crazy. I think we just decided, yeah, it's the best way. Let's just do it. And she looked good. I mean,
yeah, I was
it just
fitting in with them. Yeah, I was fitting in with them.
Oh, you were fitting in fine by then. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
my God, you added such a sex symbol element, and the way you could move and play. So it was like a plus. It became a plus for the band.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I have watched as many Pleasure Seekers and Cradle videos that I can. Thank you, Patty, for putting them up on YouTube for me. But one of the things, I mean, I've said this to your sister, Patty, a lot, Arlene. When I watched Patty and Fanny, I was there. When I watched her in the Pleasure Seekers, Patty can't sit still and her moves are incredible. If I just keep my eyes on her, if I keep my eyes on you, your moves are incredible and you're mesmerizing. If I focus in on Susie, her moves are incredible and she's mesmerizing. And the three of you together, I just think are so dynamic in both versions of the band. And then Nancy, of course, comes along in Cradle. But I mean, it's amazing. So I would love
That's from Dad. You know, that's in our DNA, that movement, that feeling the beat, wanting to move. We all got blessed with that. We did. We were dancers. We were movers. And it came through on stage. We didn't just stand there like girls behind a mic. We didn't do that.
Well, yeah, and we also all have piano. We had training before we did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
We were trained in music. You know, we grew up in music. You know, little did we know what that was setting us up for.
Dad was so devious. He wanted his kids to carry on the flame. He definitely did. He was so proud that when we got into music, you could feel it within him. You know, he helped us. He helped us get a van to carry the equipment. And I mean, he was in it. He was so proud. Yeah. And very critical. Arlene, do you remember he would come to gigs and say, well, I would have done that song a little different. And da-da-da. He always had critiques. He was very frank about the critique because he wasn't a rock and roll based guy, but he sure ran his mouth about whatever we were doing. And he loved a
lot
of
it. Like
but
he was like us.
Yeah.
But he was like us. He absolutely,
yes.
In playing to all the old people when he was older, was such a thrill for him. He just loved playing the piano for them and watching them all try to move and do whatever. And they were his age, and he was able to play for them, and he was just in his glory. He loved it.
Oh, God. He would go to the nursing homes at older age and play the music and made them so happy. We would hear about it. He would take his little organ and his tapes, and he would put on a show at various nursing homes. He never could leave it alone and stop. He was an entertainer.
He loved it. He loved playing for him. He told me all about it. I mean, he loved it.
Yeah.
And watch how they reacted to what he was doing.
And that was our musical bubble that we grew up in.
Well,
that was around us always.
I want to add something to that because, yes, it's a musical bubble. And, yes, you were given lessons and all of that. And this will lead to a conversation I want to have with the both of you, since, Patty, you and I have talked about the difference between the music biz in Detroit versus L.A. And, Arlene, you, too, have experiences in both of those cities. But, first of all, I want to add to watching all of you up on stage. Your brother, Michael, also can't sit still. And he moves as well. And he's mesmerizing. But the thing about your father, as you say, Patty, he was so damn proud. Of course he was. But he was also in the biz. And as I said about your brother, Michael, talent has to trump nepotism, because that would be your dad's name on the line or your brother's name on the line if he was advocating for subpar talent. I think the fact that your father was so supportive of the work and music you were creating speaks volumes to why he could be so proud, because look how talented all of you were. You did not disappoint musically.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. He could be really proud of all of his kids that came out of him that had the music. It's like the music gene, the seed of music.
Absolutely. And that leads me to a conversation I want to have as we're talking about all of this is, again, as I just mentioned, in right now, Patty and I have been working on the fall preview for season 3, which is going to be all pleasure seekers. I think at this point, Patty, we'll talk about this. I think it's just going to be pleasure seekers, and then season 4.
Oh, yeah.
Cradle, I think, because we don't want to shorten this at all. But one of the things that Patty and I talked about in the fall preview, which we're calling her oral history, but also at the end of season 2, which was your entire Quattro family in Detroit, in the car industry at the time, with Mickey going out to Lawrence Welk, with all of this band starting, Detroit Rock City and the Seeds, we ended the last episode of season 2. And as I have to preface this, because I always get choked up because of the way Patty worded it, I asked her what it was like growing up in the Quattro family and then growing up during this time. And Patty said, well, I have to preface it with growing up in Detroit within my Quattro family. And the way that your sister described it was growing up a Quattro in Detroit was like sneaking up on magic. And I just think that's so profound. And profound. Mm-hmm. Also, I always say I'm so with love envious that all of you had this incredible magic, because my version, Arlene, since you knew my dad, and let's just spill the tea here, dated him, which I only found out yesterday. you know, in LA, it's there is not necessarily the magic of music. It can often be the veneer of magic. And it's a different vibe in LA because people are so hungry there. And the other thing that your sister Patty said, which I quote all the time, and Arlene, you said this earlier without even saying it, within Detroit during this moment in time, these are Patty's words, music was the culture. You couldn't separate because of everybody creating all this new music together. Whereas when I was growing up in the music biz in LA, it was more, who could you sleep with to make it to the top? Who did you know? What were your connections? Or you didn't necessarily even have to be talented. You just had a certain look, and or people just wanted to be famous. So I would love to hear your take on what it was like growing up in this magic. You've spoken about it, but I'd love to hear more of your family. And then you becoming this very young mom, but still you're in this incredible moment in Detroit and Rock City and wanting to be a part of it. I'd love to hear your reflections.
You mean before I got in the band of it happening?
All of it. Girl, what was it like to grow up in Detroit in the Quattro family with this magic?
Well, I think each person is their own personality in their own way. I don't know. I wanted to be, in the dancer, and then my dad got me in the band, and so that took over.
Well, it started out.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say, you just said something very interesting, and that's why I wanted to stop you. You said my dad got me in the band, and we've talked about this now, and I just find it fascinating. You could have resented your dad and said, absolutely not, I'm not going in the band. There could have been a resentment. There could have been a backlash. But instead, you...
Yeah. I could have been like, I'm a mother. What's the matter with you? I mean, I'm here with my kids. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. No, that wasn't even on my mind.
How did you feel about dad as he put you in and it started going and getting excited? How do you look back about your dad on that whole episode and what really turned out and how it propelled you?
Incredible. I love my dad, and I was so close to my dad. So, so I didn't have a bad feeling about him. I felt that he cared about all of us. So that's why he was trying to help you guys, because you didn't have an organ player. And so he reached out to me. Maybe I felt a little bit honored or something that he reached out for me.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think I would have been the one he would have reached out for or helped. I was an older woman with kids. I mean, why would he even think of me?
That's interesting.
It's interesting.
And he hadn't heard me play piano in quite a while. I mean, I hadn't had, piano was way back. I took that for years.
That's his love of family. He wanted all of us in music and wanted it, he knew we needed help with a keyboard player, and he decided to make that move. It's interesting. I didn't know he had given you a choice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he always was for the family. I mean, even when I had trouble with the kids and dad was always there.
Yes.
He was an incredible father. He was always there. I don't care what was wrong with us, what was happening. And he was no dummy. He was a genius.
Oh, absolutely. But I think he was also a genius father and reader of people. And I think that this is me completely guessing, but based upon everything the two of you have said about your incredible dad, is Arlene, with what you were going through at that time, you in a way, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you were a mom. You were already like, that was it. And he might have recognized whether you said it or not, just in you being you and him being your dad, that you might have needed something new in your life, and he didn't want to see.
Yeah, he knew about the ballet. He knew that I tried to do the ballet again. So I wonder what that came in his mind. He knew that I, being a mother, everything that I had, I still wanted to go back and do a little dancing, something for myself.
That's incredible. Yeah. Patty, how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
You know that?
I didn't know that, but that's the behind story. He was always, whatever he could do for his kids, he would do. That's it.
Yeah.
That's just what kind of dad he was. He would see a problem. He would talk to you. He would think, he just had that kind of bent in him. He was he wanted every kid to thrive and have a great life. My God, he worked two jobs his whole friggin' life. He hardly had any sleep half the time. you know, just trying to bring up five kids and what it took to do that in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, the rich section. So he just gave and gave and gave. I'll never forget one time I woke up in the middle of the night and it was snowing and freezing. And I looked out the window and there he was right in front of our house on Allard, Arlene. And he was out there in the freezing cold waiting for his little ride to go to GM and do the car thing. And he had gigs that night. And I just started crying. I just, oh my God, what he does for us, you know, working from dawn till dusk and then beyond. And it really stayed with me my whole life. That's one of the pictures in my memory of him on that corner, freezing and waiting for his car ride.
You know, he played, I just got a picture in that I'd forgotten too. They have movies of, he had a blanket out and he would play to me. I was maybe 6 months old, maybe not as old as that. He was playing the ukulele for me.
Oh my God. He played ukulele and he played accordion. He taught himself accordion so he could stroll through the Grosse Pointe Yacht Club during dinner hour and make more money. So he taught himself that, taught himself piano, taught himself organ. I mean, that was,
well, and also,
he just never stopped. We touched on that. Yeah.
We did touch upon that in season two, but also your brother in the summer series that we did with him reminded us that your father played violin in high school.
Yes.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Short,
that too.
Stubby, fat fingers. And he was a prodigy on violin when he was a young boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the fact that your magical family, your amazing parents, your supportive and encouraging and proud father nurtured this idea of music in four female kids at a time in life when females were not really being encouraged to do much more than get married and have kids. So in a weird way, I think that he was looking and saying, nope, not my girls. Maybe they can be moms, they can do all of that, but my girls are too talented to not at least have a shot at it. And I love that he did that for the both of you, for Susie, for Nancy. And I'm just wondering if Arlene, you have any final reflections on your time in the Pleasure Seekers, joining the band, in the middle of it, being a sex symbol, just anything you want to talk about.
I've got tears in my eyes now because I'm so grateful to my sisters for keeping me in that band. They had every reason to go somewhere else because of the mother and older and all that. And they kept me in there and gave me that experience that was incredible. It was incredible.
My God, you had men writing you all over the place when we went to Guam, and you had gifts sent to you. You were so beloved in the band and so appreciated, and it just never stopped. You got so much mail, so much reaction for your time in the band.
I know, but if it weren't for you guys, you know, voting me in, I wouldn't have been able to do it, you know, and I've never forgotten that. I mean, all of my memories, that's why I go, oh, thank God for my sisters that they kept me in. Oh, you know, little did I know it, I've never forgotten it. It was incredible to be in the Pleasure Seekers with my sisters. That's all I can say. It was incredible.
Incredible for us to have you. We were lucky to have you in it. Very lucky. What you turned out to be and contribute was very amazing.
And I think you have thousands and thousands of admiring fans who would agree, all of you, the Pleasure Seekers. That's why I feel so honored that we're going to take another deep dive in season three, all about the Pleasure Seekers. Arlene, I hope you will join us again so that we can ask you more.
I would be happy to. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
of course.
Thank you very much.
And I'm just going to tease our listeners that we have so many more stories to get to. So, for example, not only was Arlene beloved, to use Patty's words, I understand that you used to have male fans for all the band members break into your dressing rooms and steal your panties, and that Leo had to fight them off.
I can't wait
for more stories to come in season three. And for now, love to you both. This has been fabulous. And we will talk soon.